I'm sitting here.
I don't know. I do not know. Okay, so I know the Erev Yontif already, so we're coming up against the clock. So again, try to keep it very brief. We'll finish by 10:02. But just well, Erev Yom Kippur, that's one day, you know, you really mitzvah of eating. So there's a very important distinction to be drawn about Yom Kippur. Normally, when we think about Yom Kippur, we think about two distinct themes of the day. One of them is, of course, that like Shabbos, there's a prohibition against creative labor. There's an Isser Malacha, and the Isser Malacha, the prohibition against creative labor, is very robust. In other words, it's not like Yom Tov, where there's a very substantial carve-out for things that have to do with cooking. We call the carve-out for Ochal Nefesh, but it really is a very robust Isser Malacha, prohibition against creative labor, that encompasses all the areas of Shabbos, all the areas of a regular Shabbos day. And then we think about a different theme of Yom Kippur, and we see these for the most part as like two distinct themes, which is that, you know, in addition to the quality of Shabbos or the Isser Malacha, so there's something called Inui. There's a responsibility that we have to afflict ourselves, and that affliction expresses itself first in eating and drinking. Everybody, you know, over lunch, we could all relate to that as an affliction of being forced to abstain from that, but it goes beyond eating and drinking as well. Whether or not the other forms of affliction are at the same level as eating or drinking is a matter of dispute, but there are other restrictions as well, all having to do with some degree of self-denial. Let me think about these largely as two different themes of Yom Kippur. Again, the theme that's very common to a Shabbos is the standard Isser Malacha, and then unlike Shabbos, where there's a responsibility that we have to take delight in the Shabbos, v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, a certain idea of delighting or enjoying Shabbos, which is why we try to increase to a degree carnal activity on Shabbos, for the most part, on Yom Kippur, we play it exactly in the opposite direction, where you start out with this foundation of Shabbos, but instead of then going from there to the delight associated with Shabbos, where we're engaging our bodies, on Yom Kippur, we go exactly in the opposite direction with this self-denial, denial of food, denial of drinking, and denying ourselves in various ways physically. That's the way that I think it's typically understood, and that's certainly a valid way of understanding it. I mean, the idea is through this process of self-denial, through this process of afflicting ourselves, we'll be able to achieve atonement on this day, Yom Kippurim, literally a day of atonement, because self-denial is certainly associated in rabbinic literature and beyond with purging oneself and achieving atonement. And the idea, so to speak, is not to put it in oversimplified terms, but to say to God, look, you know, we're afflicting ourselves. You know, we don't need any more affliction from you. We're willing to do it to ourselves because, you know, we think this is a good bargain. If I had to give an analogy, very often colleges, some people follow college athletics. So colleges are constantly being censured by the NCAA for various rule violations. In other words, they didn't keep their end of the bargain. Their athletes weren't really taking their tests. Other people were taking tests for them, and they're not supposed to be paying their athletes, and they're paying their athletes or giving them benefits. So very often what a college will do is they'll say, okay, you don't need to punish us. We'll sanction ourselves. And, you know, you can accept that as our atonement. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it's not enough. But that seems to be like one way of relating to Yom Kippur. The Rambam takes a completely different approach to his understanding of Yom Kippur. He says, in contrast to the way that I laid it out initially, which is that there are these two competing themes at the core of Yom Kippur, the first theme being the theme of abstaining from malacha like a regular Shabbos, and the second theme being the theme of afflicting yourself, but it's unrelated to Shabbos. It's even the opposite of Shabbos, because Shabbos we would normally engage or delight in our carnal existence, oneg Shabbos. The Rambam says there's only one theme on Yom Kippur, and that is the theme of Shabbos. The Torah calls it Shabbos, Shabbason. So you have the base level of Shabbos, which is to cease and desist from creative labor, but the Rambam formulates the self-denial that we engage in other words, not eating, not drinking, not engaging in other forms of carnal activities, washing, anointing ourselves, wearing leather shoes, marital relations. The Rambam formulates those less as inuyim, as matters of personal affliction, but also a form of shvisa, a form of rest. It's not just rest on Shabbos in terms of rest abstaining from creative labor, but we even extract ourselves or refrain from normal carnal bodily activities. This is a very important reconceptualization or reframing of what Yom Kippur is about. So it's not that we're afflicting ourselves per se, or denying ourselves food, or denying ourselves the pleasures of washing or wearing leather shoes. It shouldn't be framed in terms of self-denial, but we're actually experiencing an even more intense form of shivisa, of being able to cease and desist from normal human activities. To what end? To the end, the Rambam says, of coming lifnei Hashem, of maximizing our cleaving with God. And Yom Kippur should not be primarily understood in that sense as a day of affliction, but a day of cease and desisting from all of the normal routines that we have, which even include eating and drinking and washing, etc., and allow us to maximize our sense of cleaving to God, or as the verse that becomes the refrain of Yom Kippur, we say it literally time and again throughout the liturgy, throughout the service, before Hashem, you will be purified, lifnei Hashem titaru. And sometimes the normal activities that we go through, whether it's eating or drinking or washing ourselves, which there's nothing wrong with, we're not putting a value judgment in them, and on the contrary, they can be used for service of God, on Yom Kippur, those are a distraction. So we shouldn't think about fasting, not washing, not wearing leather shoes, abstaining from marital relations as any kind of an affliction, or we're going to punish ourselves, so God, we're going to forestall your punishment, but on the contrary, as a way of extracting ourselves from normal routines. There's a very fascinating passage that I had seen many times before, but this year it struck me in a different way in the Jewish philosophy course that I'm teaching here. So we just recently finished a unit on the afterlife. What is the destiny of the soul after we move on from this world? So the Rambam describes his understanding both of the next world and this world as having one singular focus, that we want to try to cleave with God as best as we can. Of course, our bodies are temporary. The part of us which is eternal is our soul. And let's say when we study Torah or think about what it is that God's will is, we're cleaving to God, and that will be the part of us that will continue on even beyond this world into the next world. That is the essential part of us. And the next world is all about, the way the Rambam explains it, is that our eternal souls are somehow enjoying being in God's presence. We can only enjoy being in God's presence if we've done the preparatory work here in this world. That's the way the Rambam sets it up. So listen to his formulation. He says, in the next world, there aren't any sorts of things that would distract you from this singular experience, this immersive, that's really the word, this immersive experience of somehow benefiting or taking pleasure in the divine essence. So he says, what do we not have in the next world? Well, in the next world we don't have eating. In the next world we don't have drinking. In the next world we don't have washing. In the next world we don't have anointing ourselves. In the next world we don't have intimate relations. In other words, the next world is
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. But, of course, there's no affliction associated with it. Here, indirectly, tangentially, secondarily, there is affliction, because after all, our bodies, at some point in the day we're going to feel hungry, at some point in the day we're going to feel tired, at some point in the day we'll say, I really like to shower right now. But it's all secondary. That's not the point. The point isn't to afflict yourself. The point is to come as close as we possibly can to God, and so we extract ourselves from all the normal things that we have to do every single day, and we experience one day as if we were living in the ultimate reality in the world to come. That's what we call the Rambam's formulation of Shabbos Shabbason, the ultimate Shabbos, where we have the opportunity, not the punishment, but the opportunity to cease and desist, is to extract ourselves from all of our normal routines, both in terms of creator labor, that's malacha, that's not unique to Yom Kippur, that's familiar to every Shabbos, but then the Shabbason, the Shabbos Shabbason, the second dimension of that, which is for us to be able to extract ourselves from even non-creative labors, but even, just attending to our body. And that's really why the Torah, we're going to read it at the very end of the laning, very end of the Torah reading on Yom Kippur, the Torah reading that we do in the morning from Parshas Achrei Mos, the 16th chapter of Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, where the Torah describes Yom Kippur with a very interesting term. It says, Achas Bashana, that this day is really once a year. No, you could say, okay, once a year. Well, of course Yom Kippur is once a year. But it doesn't really mean to say in terms of the frequency of Yom Kippur. We're not saying once a year as opposed to twice or three times or four times a year. What we really mean when we say Achas Bashana is that it is a singular day. It is qualitatively distinct from every other day of the year. The way that I always like to put it in shul is that there aren't 365 days a year. There are 364 days and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Achas Bashana. We're living in a qualitatively different way with different standards. Now, the goal, hopefully, and this is in bringing things to the conclusion, the goal is to not allow it to be an island in time where it has no impact on the rest of the year. Yes, we recognize we're not going to try to replicate Yom Kippur on the 11th of Tishrei or on the 12th of Tishrei. We're not going to try to replicate it until next Yom Kippur. We know that we can't live by those standards. Those standards would actually preclude the possibility of human life. If you tried to replicate Yom Kippur more than 3 or 4 times in a row, you'd be hospitalized, and then a person literally wouldn't be able to survive. So we're not meant to be able to replicate it, but we surely are meant to extend the experience of Yom Kippur, where we're taking that sense of clarity that we achieved on Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem, and allowing that to spill over, to impact, and even to direct our values the rest of the year. And that's precisely why, according to the view of the Rambam, there's only one day of year, halachically speaking, that spills over before and after, what we call Tosefes Yom Kippur. Now, we have a tradition, the Rambam says this would be a rabbinic tradition, of, let's say, lighting candles on Shabbos, 18 minutes really before the sun sets, before we could say that the day actually begins. That's what we call Tosefes, adding on to Shabbos. But the Rambam think that's only rabbinic by nature. We don't really have to do that according to the Torah. There's one day of year, according to the Rambam, that on a Torah level impacts the day before it. In other words, it takes a piece of the day before it, and it takes a piece of the day after it. And that's Yom Kippur. What's the message? Yes, Yom Kippur, of course, is singular. It's not meant to be replicated. But if you're not extending it out at the edges, a little bit before and a little bit afterwards, so then you're really not experiencing Yom Kippur the way that it ought to be experienced. The idea is that it should have that impact the rest of the year, which is why in Yom Kippur, that clarity that we try to develop, that sense of being Lifnei Hashem, even if we know we're not going to experience that in the hustle and bustle of daily life, there are certain resolutions, certain commitments that we're supposed to come to on Yom Kippur that direct our year. That's really the idea. And even 48 or 72 hours later, it's very natural for us to think, did I really say that? Did I really commit to that? And that's a natural process, because we don't have that clarity anymore. We don't have that singularity of focus and that ability to extract ourselves from everything else. But we should try, to the very best degree possible, to hold ourselves to that Yom Kippur standard. That's why it is important, Achas Bashana, to take a break, a Shabbat Shabbason, a total break from the rest of the year. I just wanted to say that Yom Kippur is obviously necessary in every generation, but I think it's doubly, triply, and even an exponentially degree more necessary today, because the idea of being able to extract ourselves from all of the distractions, not just the creative labor that we do once a week, not just from eating and drinking that we do once a year in terms of Yom Kippur, but the intensity of distraction that we live under, thanks to our technology, right? Changing it, they've done studies, you check your phones 80 times a day, 90 times a day, literally. I mean, people don't like to think of it that way, but it's really true. Yom Kippur is so much more necessary today than ever to be able to extract ourselves from all of that, to take a break from everything, and to have at least one quiet day a year for us to be able to really think through what matters most and to keep our eye on the prize. And that's why it's so impactful that for the Rambam, Yom Kippur really is a day of living as if we were in the ultimate reality without any distractions. The Rambam describes it exactly as a day of Olam Haba. So hopefully, in so doing, we'll be able to better position ourselves, more effectively position ourselves for the rest of the year. So it should be for all of us, Gemar Chasima Tova, a happy year, a healthy year, productive year, a year of spiritual clarity as well. Achas Bashana, may Yom Kippur be singular in its own right, but it also may impact the rest of our year.